Next item on the agenda is BRG Little Creek LLC, number 20-0226. Who will be handling this matter? Ms. Peabody?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. You've been previously sworn. Would you proceed, please?
Yes, sir. So BRG Little Creek has an after-the-fact authorization request. They would like to retain and improve a previously constructed 33-foot by 30-foot enclosed open pile platform to be used for restaurant activities, and this portion is not after the fact, and to install a new 16-foot by 30-foot oyster reef below the platform along Little Creek at 4707 Pretty Lake Avenue in Norfolk. Next slide. The project takes place, like I said, along Little Creek before you get to the Shore Drive Bridge at a location previously known as Cuddy's Ark, but the restaurant was previously known as Cuddy's Ark. Mm-hmm. Next slide. Here is an aerial view that's mostly around 2018 of what the property used to look like. So the property has changed hands and is now being deconstructed, or has almost been fully deconstructed except for the restaurant there that you see that's over the water. And it's being redeveloped and rezoned into a condo development that will have marina amenities as well as a restaurant that they would like to continue using with the platform that you see that goes over the water. Next slide, please. So when BRG Little Creek purchased the property, as they were going through the site plan review with the City of Norfolk and the rezoning, it was discovered that there was a portion of the restaurant that had been constructed over the water, and the City of Norfolk and the BMRC did not have any permits associated with the structure. Aerial imagery shows that it was it was built in 2011, so it's fairly recent. And it is a fully enclosed structure with the permanent restaurant equipment that's being used as an extension of the Cuddy's Ark restaurant at this time. So the applicant would like to just keep the open pile pier platform, which is 33 by 30 platform, remove the rest of the siding and the roof, and install an open-sided gazebo over the platform. Next slide. So here you can see the drawings of the bottom right is just the existing platform that they would like to keep and redeck. And then the proposed roof gazebo structure that you see there that's open-sided. And this has it has gone through a few iterations, and they've shaped the project down to this. It started with an enclosed structure, and after further discussions with the City of Norfolk and the agent and VMRC, they decided that they would want to have the gazebo open-sided, and have offered to not put any long-term restaurant equipment on the structure. Next slide. They would also like to propose to build an oyster reef below the structure using oyster reef balls. And this is just a water quality component to the redevelopment of the entire property. Next slide. So this is a view of the site plan, the most recent site plan, just to give you an idea of how it's going to be redeveloped, so you can see where the pier plan fits into that. The top, you can see the new condos. At the bottom of the screen, you can see the restaurant and offices that lead to outdoor seating that will then lead to the covered deck as a restaurant lounging kind of amenity to the restaurant, as well as additional CDPA plantings and all of the approvals that they received to the City of Norfolk. Next slide. So there's two portions of this project. The first is that this is an after-the-fact authorization. And when reviewing after-the-fact authorizations, we have to determine whether this was a project that would have been approved at the time of construction if a permit application had been turned in. And for restaurants over the water, we turn to the 2003 Sumatria guidelines for determining whether it's an appropriate use of submerged lands. The guidelines give us a definition of water dependency by saying those water dependent structures are those structures and activities that must be located in, on, or over state-owned submerged lands. And it gives us two questions that we must affirmatively answer in order to get to that determination. And the first is it necessary that the structure be located over water? And two, is it necessary that the activity associated with the structure be over the water? In addition, the sub-aqueous guidelines guide the commission that in addition to other factors, the commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project. And they should do this in consistency with the public trust doctrine. Next slide. All right, so after staff went through those two questions, as we do for most of these projects, we consistently questioned the need to provide additional outdoor dining or seating, private outdoor dining or seating over state-owned submerged land in cases of restaurant expansion. This use of the proposed visit facility is viewed as non-water dependent, and there's no inherent need to be sited over the water, while seating could be adjacent to the water or on the upland. As such, staff would not have recommended approval of the project when it was constructed in 2011. And we would have brought it in front of the commission with the same discussion at that time. Accordingly, staff recommends denial of the request to retain the unauthorized structure and recommends that the entire Dutch structure be removed. Staff supports the requested shellfish reef. If the commission feels that the after-the-fact request is appropriate to authorize, staff would recommend any approval be conditioned upon the payment of a triple permit fee of $300 and triple encroachment royalties of $4,455. The current owner did not construct the unauthorized addition to the restaurant. As such, staff does not feel that the assessment of civil charges is appropriate in this case. And that finalizes my presentation, and Rebecca Francis is the agent for the project.
All right. Thank you. Any questions by members of the commission from Ms. Peabody? Okay. Ms. Francis, are you on?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Can you proceed, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk on about this project on behalf of the owners. And while I realize that this project doesn't meet the 2003 guidelines, I still believe that this project is really in the public's best interest in terms of utilizing the waterway. Rachel gave a very good history on the background. The covered deck was constructed around 2011 by the previous owners, and it was not a permitted structure, but it has been in use for nearly 10 years. It has been associated with a restaurant that is open to the public and is a highly popular location for dining and socializing. So it's currently a well-used facility.
What is the integrity of the structure at the present time?
The architect for BRG is here. I know that they are replacing the roofing and the decking. So I know it's
currently
used, but I cannot speak to the structural integrity of the
structure at the moment. Okay, proceed. I didn't mean to interrupt. Proceed, please.
Okay. The current owners, when they purchased the property, that was one of the unique selling features was the covered deck, since it has been a unique amenity for the property, and once again, it is used by the public. The site development plans for the property show an improved and repurposed covered deck. The deck and roofing will be improved, but it will be an open-sided structure, which is more in line with the guidelines. The entire riparian apportionment on the east side of that embayment, where the deck is located, belongs to BRG. but there are no public boat slips or water access from the property. And it's also, as you can see in the photos that Rachel showed, it's at the end of a man-manipulated embankment about that ends about 125 feet north of the pier. Therefore, this is not a thoroughfare, so we're not impacting navigation at all. So it's not a destination for any boater beyond the enclosed pier, other than a few private slips that are owned by the ERG. So the enclosed pier does not have an adverse impact on the public's use of the waterway. Additionally, the upland area is private property. Thus, the general public doesn't have access for use of the waterline unless it is associated with the restaurant and the covered deck. And so the public really has more use of the state-owned area than if the deck did not exist. I also want to mention that there, I did not do an exhaustive research list, but there is precedent for allowing BRG to maintain the covered deck and improve it. Project 18-1076, Ernest Styron, the applicant purchased the property with a covered storage shed over state-owned bottomland. The commission voted to allow the Styrons to maintain the covered sheds in their private use, and that was a private use. And then 15-1779, Max Barge in Norfolk, the commission allowed the owner to maintain a previously unauthorized covered deck as part of their restaurant. So once again, there is precedent for allowing these structures. The city has approved the site plan, and in discussions with the city, the municipality indicated that due to COVID-19 health concerns and the continued practice on social distancing, they encouraged the development and use of as many outdoor activity space as possible. And this outdoor pavilion space will certainly provide an enhanced outdoor gathering for community members and the public who are utilizing the restaurant to safely socialize outside. Once again, as Rachel mentioned, there's also a water quality benefit associated with maintaining the permanent structure. And as part of that application, BRG has worked with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation to design an oyster garden under the enclosed decking. So I really submit that the covered decking is in the public's interest. It would not be in the public's interest to remove that structure. Without the decking, there's extremely limited public access to the area, either by land or water, since it is accessed by private property through a man-manipulated embankment. The covered decking has been a popular spot for nearly 10 years, and once improved, will be a safer area for the public to enjoy outdoor dining and socializing over the waterfront. And once again, there's already a precedent to maintain these types of structures.
Well,
and that's all I have.
Well, I understand the precedent aspect of it, but each case is judged on its own individual merits based on the circumstances that are provided. So to basically paint it with a broad brush as a precedent, and therefore, since that was that way, this one should be that way, I don't think is appropriate in this matter, but we'll take it into consideration. Ms. Mott, would you please put the picture back up, an overview of the actual overview picture of the...
One more.
Yes, ma'am. One more.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
one more. Ms. Mott. Yeah. I have a question for Ms. Peabody before we go. Those waterways through there, I'm going to presume that they were man-made cut canals or not. They were is that natural?
That was a big debate. I spent a lot of time looking at historic topo maps and historic imagery from then.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like the entire area of Pretty Lake was a sandy shoal, a shallow shoal kind of beachy area. And after reviewing a lot of the historic imagery, it looked like at least where Cuddy's Ark was, it was natural water there. But in other locations, like you can see to the left of the screen, that peninsula, that was definitely man-made. So we determined that this portion of the waterway was most likely natural state of submerged land when it was developed and before, you know, the upland.
So it's kind of like the chicken or the egg, which came first, the water was there, and then the fill came afterwards. Is that basically what we're looking at?
Yes, sir. I think what it was where you see most of the fill now, where you see the upland now, was a shallow, sandy beach area.
Uh-huh.
And meatball water kind of went back and forth depending on where the sand moved.
Okay.
And so where you see the water now was most likely where their water was when this was constructed, when the upland was constructed.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Just a minute. Any questions from Ms. Peabody as a follow-up to mine? Ms. Francis, I don't normally go back like this, back and forth, because this is a virtual meeting, what point did you want to make?
It wasn't her.
I'm sorry.
That was
Everett.
I'm sorry, Ms. Everett. I'm sorry. I don't have the benefit of the light, but go ahead, please, Ms. Everett, your inquiry.
No problem. Yes, I want to know, Mr. Rowan, if I could ask a question or make a comment to Ms. Francine at this time.
Oh, absolutely. You sure can.
Thank you. Ms. Francine, you mentioned working with Chesapeake Bay Foundation in a capacity to plan to build some reef bowls. I just wanted to challenge that statement a bit. I actually work with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and am aware of plans for reef bowl planting, and I don't believe CBF is aware and or involved in any such plans, so I think I would push back on that assertion there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
We actually met with Shannon out at the site, and she brought a probe, and we probed all around the pier, and she agreed that would be a good place for a site, and she provided me with the literature and such on the reef box. So I don't know that she's actually seen the final plans, but no, we had Chesapeake Bay out at the site. And once again, she brought her probe to check the bottom to make sure it was suitable for a oyster garden.
Well, if I could just follow up a bit, I will say if there was a particular invite given, I think it would stop there. It's not a project that Chesapeake Bay Foundation is planning. So happy to circle back on that, but I just think there's a little bit of a different opinion in terms of Chesapeake Bay Foundation's involvement.
And I'll agree with that. I guess I should say coordinated with them. That probably would have been a more appropriate statement.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to be heard in support of this project?
So David Pence and Jimmy Parker, I believe, are both in support.
Is there a Mr. Pence wishes to be heard?
Let me unmute him. Okay, he's good to talk.
Mr. Pence? Mr. David Pence? I hear not. Is there a Mr. Jimmy Porter that wishes to be heard?
Let me go scroll down with Jimmy. Jimmy Parker.
I'm sorry, Jimmy Parker.
Yes. Good morning. This is Jimmy Parker.
Mr. Parker, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Proceed, please, sir.
Good morning. So my name is Jimmy Parker with Bonaventure, the applicant. And Rachel and Rebecca did a great job. And I just wanted to say thank you, staff, for your thorough review of the project. As Rachel mentioned, our hope is to continue to work with the city in hopes of retaining and permitting this existing pier. And our goal of the project would basically be to remove the existing restaurant and the existing enclosed structures and leave the remaining pier that's there and just put an open air pavilion on top and use it as some restaurant seating. As Rebecca mentioned, the city has expressed interest in having some additional outdoor seating areas as we're all continuing to focus on safely socializing outdoors, and I think that this would be a great way to help them with that initiative. That is really all I had. In addition to Rebecca, who's also representing Bonaventure today, I'm here and happy to answer any questions on behalf of Bonaventure.
Thank you, sir. Any questions by members of the commission for the gentleman?
I have one, Commissioner.
Mr. Tankard, proceed, please.
Thank you. when the this facility was bought, and that was recently, as I understand it, did they have any understanding that this pier, as you mentioned, was not permitted?
We did not know that the pier was not permitted at the time. We realized that upon buying it, and we realized that this is a widely visited and enjoyed destination by a large amount of the community, and our hope is to just kind of maintain the existing pier and retroactively permit this, and at least the existing pier portion, and then also for the open air pavilion and oyster garden, and we would like to just try to maintain that to for the public's continued enjoyment and public benefit.
Further questions by members of the commission? Anyone here in opposition to this project wishes to be heard? We'll unmute the phones. The phones are unmuted. Anyone wishes to be heard in opposition to this project? Anyone in opposition to this project? Thank you. The matter's before the commission. Well, the matter's before the commission for discussion and action.
Hi, this is John Zedrin.
Mr. Zedrin, proceed, please, sir.
This is a very good project. I'm very familiar with it. In fact, I have my boat hall right there at that Tuttisharp boatyard for many years. There is to the north of that pier that they're asking for to put this pavilion in, the deep water outfall from these condominiums and houses to the north. This is known as East Beach, and it is a golf cart community. And at 5 o'clock, there are a tremendous amount of people that are in this community to come to that restaurant. The restaurant is actually a very small restaurant without that addition of pier. And I think with the oyster issues, that water there could definitely use cleaning up as far as that. And this would be an excellent location for this project as proposed. And I think it is. Would be supported by the whole community right there because, like I said, at 5 o'clock when the yard stops, people come in and there's music out there. And I recall a while back there was a similar situation on the eastern shore. There was a pier and a restaurant that appeared at the end of the pier, and a lot of people enjoyed that restaurant, and we permitted that as well. So. I would think this would be great for the city, great for the developer, and great for the people.
Is that a motion?
I'm moving to approve the project as presented.
Motion made by Mr. Zedrin to approve the project as presented. Is there a second? Is there a second to the motion?
Final second.
Was that Mr. Minor?
Yes.
Thank you. Further discussion. Further discussion. Well, yes.
This is Rachel.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I get a clarification if that motion could include the triple permit fee as well as the infringement?
Mr. Zedrin, no, that was what your intent was to support staff recommendations or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
And Mr. Minor, that's okay with you as well or not? Okay. So that's what it is.
I'm not sure. Commissioner, can we pull up staff recommendation for consideration, given that the motion refers to it?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I just a question of clarity, if I may.
Yes.
Mr. Deidre's motion proposed approving the project after the application.
Yet at the same time, it sounds like there is a understanding that the staff recommendation portion of the civil penalty would be consistent with the motion. So to me, I just needed some clarity. It, the motion on the table does not support staff recommendation in terms of approval or denial of the actual request to retain an authorized structure, correct?
If I'm correct, I believe that the yes and no, and I'll try to answer it, and I'll see if Mr. Zedrin is in agreement without putting words. Mr. Zedrin, why don't you tell me what your, in looking at staff's recommendation, what your motion is again, please?
All right. Again, it's approving the shellfish reef and the after-the-fact construction conditioned upon payment of triple permit fees of $300 and triple royalty fees of $44.55.
And that's seconded by Mr. Minor, correct?
Yes.
Further questions, Ms. Everett, at this point?
Yes. So I know we covered the shellfish reef in the proposal as well as the after fact request. Mr. Zedrin, did you refer to the denial or the approval of the request to retain unauthorized structure, and that structure be removed? I'm just a little bit unclear on that. I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. The motion supports the maintaining the structure as proposed. And the reason I say that, they're talking about taking that down and putting that gazebo up there. That's why I made the motion that way. It is that's the proposal that it's going to go with. But it's going to maintain the pier. And so I will approve the fact request to maintain the pier based on the payment of triple permit fee of $300 and triple royalty fee of $44.55.
Does that clear it up, Ms. Everett?
It does clear it up. I just wanted to understand, which I think I do, that the first portion of that motion does not concur with staff recommendation.
That
staff recommendation, there's in three portions.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Further questions by members of the commission? Well, I think the only thing
Mr.
that
Mr. make a comment. Or
yes. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You can make you can. This matters for discussion.
I guess I would just pose, Ms. Francine had mentioned in her comments that there's other projects, I know there was taken exception to that comment of others being in a, you know, kind of precedent setting. And I guess I would just, I do have a little bit of concern that, you know, obviously every time there is a decision, the next decision based it on, you know, the current or past decisions. And I guess I would just, push, and we heard at the beginning of this proposal that, you know, we have to look at what criteria and examination it would have been given if it were first submitted. And are we, by proposing that first portion of the motion, kind of saying that even if something's after the fact, obviously there is a change in ownership, which is an unusual situation here, and I sympathize with that, but it wouldn't have been given permission initially, but at the same time around, I do think that we really need to be very cautious in terms of the decision making we're proposing here, because again, it will be a precedent for future decision making, and to me, might say to future applicants that aren't requesting an appropriate permit, they might have better luck if they just wait until they're caught, so to speak. So I just wanted to keep that caution and concern.
Well, I fully understand that. My comment was going to be that, you know, had this structure been in a different location without it being in such a congested environment with a lot of different things going on around it, I'm not going to call it noise, but it's not in, and I'm not demeaning an area, but it's not a pristine open area in which encroachment over the waters of the Commonwealth of Virginia would cause an impediment or degradation of water quality or things like that. If this place had been somewhere else, out in the middle of an open view shed or adjacent to a state park or something like that, I would not in any way support maintaining anything that was not water dependent unless the certain facts were really, really out there that supported a need for it. But this being where it is, and again, that's why I ask about it being in a man-made canal, is what caused my hackles to go up a little bit about precedent setting. You know, I think if you go back and look probably at those things that we had approved that are so-called precedent setting, I would think the environment would be probably likely to what you see here. So I think the commission and the staff both have been very, very diligent in ensuring that things that go over the water that, you know, may or may not be water dependent, we've been doing a pretty good job as far as protecting the interest. So I fully understand what you're saying. And again, if this had been at a different location, in the middle of a view shed, in the middle of somewhere, I would not support it. But that's the reason I asked the question I did about the environment upon which it's situated. So, but your point is well taken, ma'am.
And your point is as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any further comment?
Yes, I have one.
Yes, Mr. Tanker, proceed.
It certainly as well gives me pause to see state water, state bottom become more or less private property for the enhancement of someone's bottom line or asset base. And I will recall the project in Cape Charles, what we had was permitted, that which was permitted over water, that was all permitted. We went from, allowing serving of drinks to allowing there to be a more or less a restaurant. So there's sort of a bit of an enhancement there. So it's a bit different than what we see here. Again, we weren't in the Cape Charles moving to approve a non-permitted structure over state bottom. So, however, having said that, I agree with you, Mr. Bennett, in the context of where we find ourselves on this project, seems as though it is a public benefit that is probably outweighs the small amount of problems that we might incur over state bottom in an area like this.
Thank you, Mr. Tankard. Further comment? No further comment. The chair will call the question. Mr. France? Mr. France. Thank you, Mr. France. It's not your fault. We're having a little trouble with the connection here, but thank you for your patience for sure. Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much for the presentation. Yes, Ms. Everett. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was just going to say, I do think that the context is very important on that vote, and I just appreciate the commission discussion and thoughtfulness to help us get that decision. So just wanted to add that.
Your comment is always welcome. Thank you. That's why you're on the commission, for sure.